Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Nachtigal. I'm here in the studio of KHOI Community Radio here in beautiful downtown Ames. I'm flying solo today with the able assistance of my engineer, Rick Morrison here. My usual co-host, Donna Prisgintis, is off in the Southern Hemisphere visiting her family. She'll be away in New Zealand for quite a long time. I'm sure she's already sent me a couple pictures of the beach. So think of that. She's down there holding up our Southern Front down there. Yes, she is. We get together once a week. Tuesday at noon, here on this radio station, we talk about food, we talk about farming, we talk about recipes, advice, opinions, lots of different things on this radio station, and we get by with help from some of our friends. Support comes from Wheat Co-op, your full-service natural foods grocery in Ames. Community-owned and community-focused since 1974. Open daily, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Located downtown at 413 Northwestern, just off Main Street in Ames. Everyone can shop Wheatsfield Co-op. Oh, we're sliding into the holiday cooking season and cookies and all that sort of thing. It's a great, great thing to do. Yes, it is. All right. Today in the Donalana Kitchen, we will be exploring the tastes and traditions of the Jewish calendar with Carol Horowitz. I ran across her here in the studio the other day and asked her about the holidays, and she has lots of things to share with us. And I also have a few words to say about pie. And from the archives, we'll have a little bit of an interview with Donna and I talking about homemade recipes, including things you can make out of chocolate. Chocolate, that sounds like the holidays to me. I don't know. Sounds good. I love this time of year. Holiday lights and Christmas carols and cookies. I went to a really fine concert on Sunday night at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church. The choral ensemble Good Company, directed by Steve Hoyfeld, was singing, and they did a fine job. There's, 28, 29 women's voices, and they sound better every year. So hats off to those folks. We had a wonderful concert, wonderful evening, was well attended. They did a great job, and there is a Christmas carol that I really like, and they did it beautifully. It's called Gaudete, which is, it translates into rejoice. But it's a really, if a Christmas carol can be a toe-tapper, that one is. And so good job on that one. And they had help from percussionists from ISU, too. It was a really fine production of that. And they did some stuff by Hildegard of Bingen, and a wonderful job on the first Noel, Ave Maria, and they wound it all up with Santa Baby, which they did a fine job on, too. Yeah, and then after that concert, as usual, everyone kind of toddled off for cookies and coffee. It was very fine, a very fine concert by Good Company. There's lots of holiday concerts to be taking in that same evening. The ISU music department put on a dandy show, I'm here to tell, and there'll be other concerts coming up, so check things out. And also, this coming weekend, don't miss Tuba Christmas. That's becoming an Ames tradition, Tuba Christmas in downtown Ames. Also, this time of year, seed catalogs are starting to fill my mailbox. Makes me think of spring already. Of course, I'm looking forward to some snow in between seed catalogs and planting. But already, yes, there are those of us that are thinking of gardening and farming for next year. And yes, folks, the seed catalogs are bigger and better than ever. I think the colors and the pictures get prettier and prettier every year. The Seed Savers Exchange catalog from Decora was one of the first ones I got. What a nice way to slide into the holidays. Yes, it is. Oh, and then there's catalogs for things you never knew that you needed. We're all on mailing lists that we try to get off of. This time of year, there are some really interesting catalogs that end up in my mailbox. A lot of things that you'd buy just for Christmas. One thing that kind of caught my eye, now I'm not going to get it, but I wonder if somebody else in Ames will get it so I can see it. This is a lawn ornament. And it's kind of odd. Haven't quite figured out how this works into the holidays, but it's one of those large blow-up ornaments. And it's Darth Vader holding a candy cane. Now, that kind of like stretches your imagination as to what exactly the Christmas story is about, I think. But there he is, not a lightsaber. He's holding a candy cane. And, of course, it's one of those catalogs that has the pictures of the blown-up Darth Vader standing outside a house with somebody really little next to it to make you think it's 20 feet tall. I think it's maybe just 9 feet tall or something. So there you have it. I don't think I'm going to be getting that one, but in the spirit of the holidays, it is there. It is there. And I also, in that same catalog, I suppose to go along with the theme, you can also order a Darth Vader toaster. In the shape of the Darth Vader head. This is important. Yeah. Write your letters to Santa if you want to order this. And it not only makes toast, but it makes toast with the Star Wars logo burned in. So are we a great country or what? Yes, we are. I have a few items here from the Don Lena Kitchen News Desk. Every now and then there are things we should share here. So here we go. Tick-a-tick, tick-a-tick, tick-a-tick. That's the ticker tape from the Don Lena Kitchen News Desk. Tick-a-tick, tick-a-tick. Here, there's some great news for a change. Toxic pesticide Enlist Duo has been nixed, has been banned, actually, by the EPA, says no to this pesticide. The Environmental Protection Agency has revoked the registration of Enlist Duo. It's a toxic pesticide to be used with Agent Orange crops, huh? All of these Roundup Ready crops that were being made. It's funny about that, but they became resistant to all of the poisons we were putting on them. So the next step was to up the ante a little bit and be able to use Agent Orange chemicals on the pests, believe it or not. And this whole idea of raising Agent Orange ready crops and spraying things with deadly pesticides, that was considered the next step in our fight for food security. And it sounds pretty risky to me. And usually that kind of thing just kind of goes on. But thanks to a lawsuit brought by the Center of Food Safety and Earth Justice, the registration of this toxic combination of glyphosate and 2,4-D was revoked. It had been approved already in 14 or 15 states here, and Iowa was one of them. So we were looking forward to next year actually having glyphosate and some really nasty things being sprayed and sprinkled all over our fine state. But the EPA said, not so fast here, folks. The Enlist crops would have allowed farmers to spray both glyphosate and 2,4-D without cleaning their crops, hoping that they would kill the weeds, of course. But some of these weeds have already developed a resistance to 2,4-D. And the escalating cycle of more toxic pesticides in the environment will continue, says the EPA, until we actually stop rubber stamping this and stop things. So withdrawing this illegally approved, approved crops is a huge victory for the environment and for the future of our food. So that is good news. Good news for all of us eaters out there. So at least we don't have any Agent Orange, I think, to be looking out for this coming spring. There's also a couple of other short news items here. And here's a nice little thing. We always rush around so much for the holiday. And here's a little note that Edinburgh, Scotland, the big city over in Scotland, its capital city, is rolling out a plan to cap the speed limit inside its city at 20 miles an hour on 80% of its road. That doesn't sound like a lot, but think of how that would affect a city like Ames or a city or a town like that you live in. What if everybody only went 20 miles an hour? This plan is expected to be phased in starting 2017, and they say that encouraging walking and cycling will contribute to the nationwide effort to reduce air pollution, lower carbon emissions, and much safer for bikers and pedestrians, and much better for neighborhoods, too. So, slowing traffic down to 20 miles an hour, that's a good news item. Give it a try anyway. See if our species can adapt. And another short news item from Detroit. Detroit is the seat of a lot of bad news. Many people leaving the city, much city infrastructure crumbling, and there's a lot of vacant land there. There are people that still want to live there, people that have to live there, and this sort of opens up an opportunity. In Detroit, city leaders have long been trying to find new uses for vacant spaces. Officials found that one of the best ideas is also the simplest. The Detroit Land Bank Authority allows city residents to purchase the vacant lot next door for $100. And guess what they're using it for, folks? Gardens. Lots of gardens. Once dangerous eyesores are finding new life as gardens, playgrounds, pocket parks, and some other use, flower farms, art installations. So using a little bit of economics, buy some land and put it to use. This is the season of Hanukkah. I talked to Carol Horowitz about holiday traditions, the local Jewish community. Let's see what's going on this time of year. I'm here in the Donna Lana kitchen talking to Carol Horowitz. She's a KHOI radio host and a fine supporter of the arts in our community. Over the past few weeks, I've been asking people what the holidays taste like. I asked Carol what the holidays taste like, and she has a lot to say. Welcome to the Donna Lana kitchen, Carol.
Thank you very much. And people who know me know that that's a very apt description about me, that I have a lot to say. But this time, I'm going to be talking to you about the holidays and how in the Jewish religion, how we celebrate the holidays. The Jewish community does have its holiday in December as well. And this year it's quite early. And it's on Sunday, December 6th, is our first night of Hanukkah. Traditionally, we have a menorah and we light candles, and there are eight candles, and we call the Shamas, that's the ninth candle. So, and then last night we have nine candles. This holiday commemorates, it's post-Bible, and it commemorates a war won by the Maccabees in, I think, 160 BC. And what happened is that the temple was destroyed, and we need an eternal light. And we were trying very hard to, what were they doing? And they found oil. They found oil for this light, but it would only last for one day. But what do you know? It lasted for eight. And so Hanukkah, therefore, lasts for 8 days, and boy, is it full of oil. So the oil that lasted for 8 days since 160-61 BC, our foods all are fried. And so the thing I remember forever, and I celebrate each year by at least making one batch of potato pancakes, and that's called latkes, L-A-T-K-E-S. And so if you want to look for a recipe of potato pancakes, you could also see the recipe called latkes. And then if it's fried, it's for the holiday. And so what do you know? Donuts. The jelly donuts are often seen at the table at Hanukkah. But I think that it has come. I think it came from Israel, because I don't remember growing up with jelly donuts. I grew up with challah, which is egg bread dipped in egg, and made into French toast.
Ooh. With that. As I recall, challah is sometimes braided and made
absolutely
very pretty. Very pretty bread.
Yeah, and there are stores here in Ames that have the bread. People call it challah bread, but it's not. That's kind of redundant. But it's called
bread.
You know, but the thing is that we're in Ames, and we enjoy kringla, and we enjoy the things that are stolen, and all these delicious pastries and foods that our good friends who celebrate Christmas share with us. And so, I mean, for many, many years, our family, my boys now are grown and moved away, but we would traditionally spend Christmas Eve with our good friends, the Lynches. And we'd have Christmas Eve with them. We'd have Christmas Eve with the Fosses. We've had Christmas with the Fosses. I mean, so we have enjoyed the Christmas holiday as well.
It's really wonderful to learn about each other through food. As you mentioned, there's many, many other holidays. And there's the Jewish calendar as opposed to the Gregorian calendar. The Jewish calendar, if I was referring to the Jewish calendar, what year is it, Carol?
It's the year 5775. And our calendar is different. You know, it's easy to remember Christmas because Christmas is on December 25th. But our calendar, we always have to look because it's based on the Jewish calendar and it's 10 months and then they add a month. And so our holidays are never the same day. And so we can't get annoyed with the school system or for say doing an activity when we're celebrating a Jewish holiday. Happily, people are more sensitive and they do have them on the calendar, so you know when the various holidays. Now remember, Hanukkah is not a religious holiday. It's a celebratory. We don't do the big gifts. I mean, some people possibly do, but the tradition for me was called, it was gelt, and it was money that you got, and it was nominal. It was very little. But we do have those, you know, to have those little bags of gold coins made into, it was chocolate inside. So we did that. But our holiday is different from Christmas.
I want to know about some of your other holidays. Yes.
Always food. Why don't I start with the beginning of our year, which our year usually happens in September, October. Remember, we don't have a specific date each year. We have to check the Jewish calendar. And so we celebrate our holiday, Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. And Rosh Hashanah we have is the beginning of the year. It's the first two days of the new year. And we have matzo ball soup, and we have brisket, and we have roast potatoes, and we have puddings, which we call kugels. And we have potato kugel, and then we also can have noodle kugel. And I think that's also called, noodle is called lukshen. You can look for L-U-C-H-E-N is the noodle pudding. And potato, I think, is just potato. I can't think of what.
And these are sweet.
Not necessarily. Potato pudding
Is savory.
Is not, it's savory. It's usually just onions. I mean, people enjoy the spices that are more current. But we remember just very rudimentary spices and egg and matzah meal. Okay.
Oh, tell us about matzah meal.
Matzah meal is this coarse meal that you use for breading, and we use it in filling the kugel, the potato pudding. We fill it in our potato pancakes, which I, you know, those latkes. But, you know, if you want to, I saw a recipe recently with baking powder and regular flour, but not me. I'm going to do matzah meal. Matzah meal is also the basis for matzah balls. And so matzah balls and chicken soup, very important in our holiday celebrations. And we can cheat and use that all through the year. But it is a very traditional thing to do at Rosh Hashanah. We also have gefilte fish, which is a it's an acquired taste. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, I don't like lutefisk. I said, then you won't like gefilte fish. But anyway, gefilte fish is a ground fish with usually white fish and carp and celery and onions. And it's made in – it's ground. And so it's made into it's sort of balls. And then – so that gefilte fish is often part of all of our holidays, but in Rosh Hashanah we use that.
You're listening to KHOI.
So we have Rosh Hashanah, and followed Rosh Hashanah is this 10 days, and it's a time for us to think about the year passed, and to, sort of a time to repent. And then we have, and this has nothing to do with food because it's a fast day.
Contrast.
We have Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur is a day of atonement. And rather than to talk to a clergy and express and share our sins, we celebrate by going to synagogue, and it's with the Supreme Being in us, and it's individual. But then, after the fast, now the fast is 24 hours, no liquids, nothing. Then, this at sundown, we have break fast. Ta-da!
Break fast.
And then we have wonderful, wonderful foods. We have and part of the Rosh Hashanah, the new year, we celebrate with round things, apples and honey. I forgot to say that because we have apples and honey to commemorate the new year. It's a good round year and it's a sweet year.
Oh, good.
And so, and round challah. That's where I was trying to say. Have you ever seen that?
No, I've just seen the braided.
I'll bring you one.
The braided challah.
It's the same bread, you know, the twisted whatever, but it's made in a circle. Mm-hmm. And so it's that bread is round, and that's part of the tradition of round and sweet. The round year should sweet. Be round, sweet, whole, and round. So then we go to break fast, where we have very wonderful. Different people do it different way. Now I have friends who have full meals with chicken soup and matzo balls and brisket and. But my family, we didn't do that. We did dairy. And we did herring.
I love herring. Herring is wonderful.
We do herring, and we do the challah, and we lox and bagel and those kinds of things. So that's what we
did.
Yeah, so that's the break fast. Yeah. And then after that, we go to Sukkot, another food holiday. We build, either in the synagogue, but people do it in their homes, they build a hut, which is called a sukkah, S-U-K-K-A-H, or, well, that's how it's pronounced, sukkah. And the holiday is Sukkos. You build a hut, and it's open to the air, and it's filled with, it's a harvest holiday, and it's filled with the harvest. Again, all the meals, and it's also 8 days, I believe. Those meals are in the hut,
eaten outside, or traditionally. You're thinking about the harvest. You're thinking about where things have come from. Oh, very good.
And you're celebrating under the eyes of God. And so that's Sukkos. I know I have one of my grandsons. He lives in Ann Arbor, and his other grandma, it's her favorite holiday. And so she has the sticks, the metal poles, always in her yard. They build the sukkah. And our little guy, he's 7 now, but every year he goes to that grandma's house with his hard hat and his – and because she'd say, Eli, do you want to build the sukkah? Oh, yeah. And so he comes to his grandma's house, and he helps to build her sukkah. And they have it. They have the sukkah every year, and they have their meals outdoors. And so that's that holiday. And then after Sukkot, we have Purim, which celebrates the Book of Esther. And we have Humantashen.
Oh, tell me about that. Humantashen.
H-A-M-E-N-T-A-S-C-H-E-N. Humantashen. Now, that story is the book of Esther. And in that story, there was a very evil man, and he wanted to kill all the Jews, and his name was Haman. And so then, so as a result, there are, now someone told me it's the ears of Haman, and we said it was the hat of Haman. But he was a very evil guy, but he got his. And it is the book of Esther. And so we celebrate that with masquerade part. I mean, we have parties, masquerade, and everybody, people dress up in costumes, and oftentimes adults have these parties, and some silly guy is Queen Esther. And I don't know if our audience remembers Marty Zober, the late Marty Zober, but he was a remarkable, wonderful man. He was on faculty. And he, I remember so vividly right now, I remember him as Queen Esther. So the food is, it's a tri-cornered, other than in Purim, it's tri-cornered and filled with, and then it's filled with jelly.
Okay.
And you know what I do?
What?
Every year, my sons are very grown, and they have families. But maybe it's for me, but I always make Humantashen, and for tons of money send it postal service. And I can't believe sometimes, you know, how much it costs to send my Humantashen to my sons. But maybe it's more for me. But anyway, it is tradition. I do that. So Humantashen is Purim. And then we go to Passover, where we have the Exodus from Egypt. And of course, we have very traditional, you know, the thing that about the Jewish religion, we do a lot of celebrations at home.
Oh, actually, from what little I know about it, it's around the table. The family gathers to remember through food.
That's really right, through food. And so we read from a book called the Haggadah, and the Haggadah tells us the story of the Exodus from Egypt, and it also, on the table is a ritual plate, and on the plate are foods, and we have a shank bone, we have bitter herbs, that's to remind us of the bitter times that we suffered, we have a food called harosis, C-H-A-R-O-S-E, I don't know, it's something like that, C-H-A-R-O-S-E. S-E-T-H, I think. Anyway, it's made with chopped nuts, and wine is what we traditionally make that with. And so that, and that's harosis. And then we have matzah, and then we, which is unleavened bread. And because the Jews didn't have time to, it's not that they didn't have time. They didn't have time to leaven the bread. They
right,
were escaping.
Right. So they.
We have then we have eggs. We have eggs, and that's and we dip the eggs in water. And at the end of the service, it's a service, so there's a lot of ritual. And we pass the parsley. We have parsley, we dip it in water. And it's for life.
Lovely.
And the eggs are for life.
Oh, neat!
And you put the bitter herbs. Which is horseradish, essentially, and the harosis sometimes, and you make a sandwich of the two bitter herbs, and there's a prayer. And so we pray over everything, but then we have wonderful meal. We have, so after the egg, then it's sometimes it's gefilte fish, if you want to have a lot of courses. Then you have, then there's always, chicken soup with matzo balls, and then there's brisket or usually a beef, vegetables, and we can't do yeast. So the breads or the cakes that we have are not made with regular flour, and you know a lot of nuts. We use nuts, and we use. We have chocolate, but we don't use anything that's leavened. Borscht is, that's a beet soup, and that's very popular at Passover time.
But, well, it sounds like it's the care and the memory and the ritual that you go through is part of the celebration.
Yeah, and it's
taking the time.
You know, as in Tevye, tradition. It's tradition, and that's what's meaningful. It's the tradition, and it's meaningful because it tells us what we are, who we are. And it's important. And the thing that in Ames, we don't have a very large Jewish population, but our friends who are not Jewish really, really understand and enjoy what we do. And just as you're asking me and wanting to know more about how we celebrate, that's just general about, you know, the friends that and the people here in Ames who it's a learning experience, you know, just as other people's traditions are a learning experience for me. The Jewish people enjoy food and it's celebratory.
Very good. Thank you for being with me today. We're back. That was Carol Horowitz talking about food and tradition of the Jewish community. She kind of took us through the Jewish calendar, which has nothing to do with the calendar that we follow, so it's wonderful. We're on different time scales, but we all connect up around food. Thank you, Carol, for sharing all those good thoughts with us. She talked about Hanukkah, which is the festival that's going on right now. It commemorates a battle, like she said, fought in about 160 B.C., between the Maccabees and the Syrians at that time. And surprisingly, according to Carol, just like today in the Middle East, that festival is all about oil, wouldn't you know, all about oil. And donuts. Also, talking about Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, we learned that during that time, round things are celebrated. Carol talked about round challah, round bread, and serving apples and honey to remind people about the roundness, the wholeness of things for well-being and for sweetness in the new year. So keeping in the spirit of round things, I have a bit to say about an annual pie party that I attended recently. Pies, they're a round thing. And there were many of them. I had the good fortune last week to attend a pie party. And this happens, I hope it happens every year. It's happened the past few years. People have a potluck, and as the year is drawing to a close here, it gets kind of gloomy outside. Get into our kitchen and make ourselves some pie and get together. At that time, we can celebrate the circle, too, celebrate the circle of pies. Circle of the year, circle of the sun and moon. We're moving up on solstice. Think about the circle of friends. Pies are a great excuse for a gathering of friends as the year draws to a close. I can tell you that there were some great pies. There were some treasured recipes and many more just kind of made up on the fly. Some pies were real tasty and some were, well, interesting. Yes, all of these pies were made with love and a good sense of fun. There were sweet pies. There were savory pies. And actually, savory pies and sweet pies, they were about half and half. So it really turned into a potluck. No, we didn't all OD on sugar. It was just fine, thank you. I'll read you some of the pies that we experienced. Now, here's a list of sweet pies first. And because a lot of these recipes were made up, the names of these pies include some words not allowed on the radio. So I will be substituting words here for the words and the pie names here. But you can fill in the blanks. You know what they are. Well, there was a fine sweet squash pie. A peanut butter s'more pie with some toasted marshmallows on the top. I took a sour cream brandy pumpkin pie. Yeah, that's pretty good. And here's one, lard posterior peach. Now, crust made with lard is really, really good, and this one was fantastic. The peaches on the inside were lovely. And there was another one called chocolate blank pie, which had almost everything in it but the kitchen sink. That was an interesting thing. There was an apple pie, and there were some Little Debbie oatmeal cream pies. So we had a nice, round, balanced pie offering there. Now, here are the savory pies. A reverse pumpkin pie with a pecan crust, pumpkin, thyme, caramelized onions, and French raclette cheese. Bacon potato tart. A barbecued Gaelic gobbler pie. A quiche, which was vegetarian and gluten-free, a potato and onion pie, an almost vegan corn and potato pie, a samosa pie, a very large samosa with lovely, lovely vegetable and really savory inside. And here was one that I really liked. The smoked salmon cheesecake was a real dandy. So thanks to all the pie makers out there, and celebrate round things. Very good. You're listening to KHOI. This is Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa. Support this radio station. Go to khoifm.org and push the donate button. We're back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. That was music by WC, played on the marimba by a fine musician called Lee Howard Stevens. That piece was called Gollywog's Cakewalk. What a nice name. And it's from a fine CD by Lee Howard Stevens called Marimba When. This time of year, we think about having fun in the kitchen. At least I do. And making treats to give away. We've had a good couple years already of Donna Lana Kitchens, and we've got some great archives and some great recipes on file, actually, that you can find by going to khoifm.org. Find the talk section. Find the Donna Lana Kitchen section. We've got recipes. We've got past shows. So if you just cannot get enough of us, there we are. And Donna's put up some chocolate truffle recipes recently that are would make fine gifts, hint, hint, for anyone that you would like to make chocolate truffles for. I dipped into the archives and found some recipes and some suggestions for some homemade gifts of the chocolate variety. So here we go. This is the season for giving and receiving. In spite of the frenetic corporate push to push us over the edge on Black Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and all through the shopping season, let's take a bit of time to remember that there is joy in giving. Let's take back this time of year. Let's change the shopping season back into the giving season.
We're going to talk about homemade, from the kitchen, gifts. I liked it. You know, I mean, it's one thing you can go out and spend money on your friends and your family or something, but if you actually make something, there's some personal effort involved. You know, it's you're actually doing something. And plus, it's a lot of fun.
Donna's going to talk about some
chocolate.
Let's talk about chocolate. And I'll be talking about making caramel corn. It's possible. Yes, you can make it in your very own kitchen.
Actually, yes. All of the recipes that we have picked out for today are not complicated. They're not things that take a long time, like a fruit cake, which I do love to make. But, you know, it's too late to make fruit cakes for Christmas anyway, if you're going to pickle them, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. What do you have first for us, Donna?
Chocolate.
Nothing like talking about
chocolate.
The good stuff first.
Chocolate
for Christmas.
The three things that I kind of, and they are related. So, chocolate truffles, which are easier than you think to make. The simplest of all, of course, is chocolate butter, which I'll give you the recipe for. And the third one, of course, is chocolate fudge. I've been in the fudge business for the last 4 or 5 years. It goes in packages to all the aunties and cousins, and I'm loved by my family for this. So, and I'm a little behind. I got to get it made and in the mail pretty soon. But so these three chocolate things all involve kind of. I take a big. I don't even use a double boiler. I just take a big metal mixing bowl, put it over a pot of water with the pot not touching the water. Otherwise, it gets too hot too quickly. And all of them take a certain amount of cream, some sweetener, and some of them have butter in them. So it just is how loose you want. And I use the extra dark, which is, I think, 65% cocoa because I really like dark chocolate. So I'm going to give you the chocolate butter recipe because it is absolutely the easiest. And how I make it for gifts is I buy the, because it's very rich, so I buy like the smallest little, what size is that really small jelly jar?
You can get them 4 ounce.
I think it's a 4 ounce.
Yeah,
is that the teeniest
regular,
one?
Kind of your regular jelly jar is usually 8 ounce, but you can get all kinds, half size.
Yeah. So this is rich enough that you can, you know, you can make a batch and just, you know, knock a whole bunch of gifts off your list at one blow. So how much does this make? It doesn't even say. Well, here's the proportions. So you're melting 8 ounces of bittersweet, very dark chocolate. Now, I have to note that most chocolate chip packages do come in 9 ounces. So you can up everything a tiny little bit. So I put the
or eat them.
Yes, no problem. So 8 ounces of bittersweet chocolate melted with 1/4 pound of unsalted butter. That's one stick. And 1/2 cup of heavy cream. Now the flavoring is the individual part. So you're just melting this all together, and then when it gets stirred together, you just pour it into the jars and cool it off. So that's 8 ounces of bittersweet chocolate, 1/4 pound of butter, and 1/2 cup of horizon. No, not sorry. I wrote this as a job. 1/2 cup of heavy cream. Now, I put in that a pinch of freshly grated black pepper, a t- tiny pinch of salt, and a tablespoon of port. So that's my flavoring. Now, you could do all kinds of – you could put orange zest in it. You could put, you know, all kinds of things. So this – you just melt this. You pour it in the jars, and you put the lid on. Then you put a cute little label and tie a ribbon around it, and it's the most appreciated. It's very good on – you know that nut butter – nut bread that they have out at the cafe? What is that? The walnut?
Walnut something or
right.
other.
Right. Slice that up in a toast and put a little dab of this chocolate butter on it. It makes a wonderful hors d'oeuvre at a party or Christmas breakfast, things like that. So now the same thing can go if you're making – let me give you a quick chocolate truffle recipe. So, all right, this says it makes about 20 truffles. So, oh, dear, it's in grams. I forgot to translate this. Oh, well, basically the idea is you're melting the chocolate chips. You put cream in it. And this one has a very little liquid flavoring. This one has rum or brandy. And then so it's a very soft, buttery thing. You chill it, then you roll it in little balls, and then you roll it in cocoa powder or nuts or something like that. So
do you have to, like, chill this to keep it from being mushy? Or
yes.
Okay. So as you're working on it, what, in and out of the refrigerator?
Well, no. For the truffles, you just – you make the chocolate goo like in all the other
chocolate
recipes.
Chocolate goo, yes.
And so it's basically – it's always chocolate and or butter or cream, right?
Okay.
That's technically called it a ganache. And from the ganache base, all of these other things are made, and depends on the amount of liquid, how, like, the buttery one you pour in a jar, so you kind of want it soft and more liquid because it's spreadable. The truffles, you want a little less liquid because you're going to roll them into a ball. So you for the truffles, you melt them all together and combine it, and then you refrigerate it for at least overnight. That does – it kind of marries the flavors. And then you roll them into little balls. And usually you don't roll them much before you're ready to present them. And they should be stored in the refrigerator because you want them to just come to room temperature. So when someone picks it up and pops the whole thing in their mouth, it kind of melts. It's very buttery, truffles are. And then you can do all kinds of things. Like I used to hide a little piece of candied ginger in the middle of one and roll another one in nuts or put a little candied citrus peel. You know, it's custom, your choice of flavors. You can get very creative. And then the third thing, which is the thing that I make all the time now that is expected by my family, is fudge. I made a kind of fruit nut fudge with the dark chocolate once again. And so I think I put pecans and a tiny bit of cardamom and a little coriander because I like those with fruity flavors. And, oh, last year I did something else fruity. Oh, lots of orange peels. Candied orange peels are actually something that are very easy to make. Look it up in The Joy of Cooking, and I would encourage you to try it using – I use, of course, organic peels because I don't want chemicals. If I'm going to eat the peel, I want it to be really good. So use navel oranges for the peel or lemon, grapefruit. Any of those can also be – once you make them, you can dip them in chocolate too for candies, that kind of thing.
That's one of my favorites actually. I really like candied orange peels, and I discovered that via The Joy of Cooking.
Uh-huh.
A long time ago, and I figured I can do that. Now that is a bit of a fuss. It's a time consuming thing, but it's worth it, folks. It's worth
it. And you know, if you do them well, if you'd done them 2 weeks ago, you'd have a whole bunch throughout the whole. But it's not too late to do them. They are, you know, it takes an evening, but so that is good in fudge. The classic one that I had made for a number of years, I made a toffee with cocoa nibs, pecans, and black walnuts. Now, not everybody loves black walnuts, but with chocolate, black walnuts are quite acceptable, as long as they're not, like, dominating, but with the bitterness of the cocoa nibs. So I made a toffee. So I had made this sort of nut brittle topping with cocoa nibs, pecans, and black walnuts and a little black pepper, and then I crushed it. I put it in a bag and hit it with the rolling pin.
That's a good way to crush things.
Yeah. So I had little speckles, and then once I made the fudge, let's see, what did I put in the fudge that year? Oh, the fudge itself had the dark chocolate again, corn syrup, and cream. And you melt that. And then you stir in pecans, cocoa nibs, and vanilla extract and a pinch of sea salt. So then a simple way to do it is you make a flat, like 9x11 baking pan, and you just fill it with, line it with aluminum foil. And then the chocolate is so buttery. So you just pour it into that, and then you let it chill. And just before it gets all the way chilled, while it's still a little soft, then you press the toffee in the top of it so that once it firmly chills, the toffee is stuck, to the top of the fudge. Otherwise, if you wait till it's hard and you put it on, the toffee falls off when you cut it. So those are three chocolatey things. Now, the easiest one, of course, that you can do with children would be the chocolate butter. I highly recommend it.
We're back. That was Donna giving us some really helpful advice on how to give chocolate gifts for Christmas. So if you're standing there in your kitchen with your spoon in hand and feel a little lost when fudge is mentioned or truffles or chocolate butter, go to the Donalana Kitchen website and look up some of those recipes. You can go to khoifm.org, go to the Donalana Kitchen page. You can see a picture of us, too. See what we look like. Also, we mentioned a caramel corn, and that's on the recipe website, too. It's Aunt Tiny's caramel corn. Yeah. So, hope you've had a dandy holiday so far. We've got a long way to go yet, so enjoy all those cookies. Enjoy all that good stuff you get to eat. We're going to give Carol Horowitz the last word here. Carol, you mentioned other holiday traditions to me that has nothing to do with food specifically, but tell me about the Rockettes.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and I had a mother who was very showbiz, and she loved going to theater, and she loved going to movies, and she loved going, and we'd go to Manhattan and see Broadway shows. We'd go to Manhattan and we'd see the Rockettes. And at every Christmas, we'd get on the subway from Brooklyn and off we would go to Radio City Music Hall. Holy smoke, is that big and gorgeous. And there we would see the traditional. And each year, the show was different. But we knew that we were going to see spectacle. But the Rockettes were part of a whole experience because there was a movie. Mm-hmm. You could see at the Radio City Music Hall, you could go to, there's a movie, mm-hmm. and that's the stage show, these gorgeous ladies. And how can they all be the same size, we wondered. The Civic Center of Greater Des Moines had the Rockettes as part of their season 2 years ago. And guess what? I went.
Of course.
It brought back wonderful, wonderful memories, and they're still the same size.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Carol. You've been listening to the Donalana Kitchen. We've been talking about the taste of the Jewish holidays. You heard marimba music by Lee Howard Stevens. We'll go out with a tune by Eric Sessions called St. Louis Christmas. Enjoy winter. Bake a pie. Eat chocolate. I'm Lana Noctigal. Had Fine Engineering by Rick Morrison. Eat good food and enjoy life.